We've invited Pastor Magruder back to our studios for some further discussion about Easter. Now, in our first part, you had described Jesus as the first fruit of those who sleep. But yet, there were many people who have been raised from the dead prior to him. We have the widow's son raised by Elijah, and we have Tabitha by Peter, and the sleepy listener from Paul who fell out the window and all. What makes Jesus' resurrection distinct and separate from these other returns from the dead?
That's a great question. All those who were raised from the dead, from the Old Testament through even the ministry of Jesus, the young girl that Jesus raises from the dead, the widow of Nain's son that Jesus raises from the dead, and his friend Lazarus, they all have one thing in common from the Old Testament to the New. They will all experience death again. What makes Jesus' resurrection unique is he is raised never to die again.
Jesus' resurrection is, it's a little troubling going through some of the scriptures, because we have from Acts that God raised him up, and we have from Peter that he was raised in the Spirit. Did Jesus resurrect himself?
That's another good question, Steve. How about yes, or how about all of the above? Because we don't separate the undivided Holy Trinity. So when we speak of Jesus, we always speak of the Father's presence. When we speak of the Father's presence and Jesus' presence, we always speak of the Spirit's presence. So when Peter speaks of Jesus being raised by the Spirit, well, of course, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are inseparable, three unique, distinct persons, but inseparable. So it's a quibbling.
After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to thousands. It's documented. It's well documented, well recorded across all of history. But there's the one appearance that has always kind of puzzled me, is his appearance in the garden to Mary, that she did not recognize him at that point, and he instructed her, "Do not touch him because I am not yet ascended." I have wondered, what was the purpose? Do we know the purpose of that visit to Mary?
Well, John writes at the end of his gospel that these things are written, his gospel record and all of Scripture, these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we would have life in his name. So that's the filter through which we would read the account of Mary in the garden at the tomb with Jesus and Jesus' words to her. I think it's helpful also, as we look at all of the gospel records of the resurrection and post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, in this regard, to think of Jesus on the road to Emmaus in Luke's gospel, where there are two disciples who are with Jesus, walking with him, and they do not recognize him. Some people have theorized, well, they were just overcome with grief. I don't buy that. They spent a lot of time with Jesus, and Mary certainly spent a lot of time with the Lord Jesus. I think it has to do with how a Christian interacts with the resurrected Lord Jesus now. We cannot grab hold of him. We cannot touch him. We must listen to him. And so Mary must trust his word. And it's interesting, when she finally recognizes him, is when he speaks his word and says, "Mary, we live and we walk by faith, hearing the word of God, and therefore seeing Jesus for who he is."
And that is our hope. And that is our goal.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for the time that you have spent with us here today to give us a little elaboration, a little illumination as to what is really happening here with Easter. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, Steve. And I just want to say that this is the most important time of the Christian year, because if Christ is not raised from the dead, we are still in our sins, Paul says, and we are destined for death. But Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we have forgiveness and life in him. Thank you.
Hallelujah.